You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The most important thing in anyone's life becomes their God. What is the most important thing in your life?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Gracious and ever-present Lord, you have spoken clearly in your commandments. You have warned against setting up idols and following false gods. Your living word records the destruction people have brought upon themselves through idolatry and placing other things in their life before you. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to realize how our special interests, our hobbies, and our material possessions can so easily become our God. Lead us to repent of these sins. Help us to turn from our idolatrous lifestyle. Finally, Lord, draw us unto your Son, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. A recent survey conducted by United Press International revealed that 97% of all Americans believe in God. In addition, more people than ever before are willing to confess having had a born-again religious experience. In spite of this apparent religious revival, however, the much-publicized movement appears to be having very little impact on society. It is becoming more and more obvious that religion being professed today reflects mere lip service with little or no commitment. Shallow testimonies reflect more of an accommodation to current social trends than an honest turning to God in true repentance and following Him without reservation. Editorials in major newspapers have exposed this inconsistency. Even well-known religious publications have deplored the increasing veneer religiosity. It is amazing to note that similar situations where people confess faith in God without commitment are recorded also in the Bible. The prophet Ezekiel faced the same challenge in his day. The people profess to believe in God with their lips, but their life, time, and energy were spent pursuing other interests. Their very lifestyle exposed their ungodly hypocrisy. In the midst of this false religiosity, God sent Ezekiel to speak to the people. He encouraged them to repent and turn back to Him. The word of the prophet is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 14. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Repent! Turn from your idols and renounce your detestable practices. Repent and live. Through the voice of his prophet Ezekiel, God made one thing crystal clear. No one, neither in Ezekiel's day nor today, should expect God to accept a mere lip service confession of faith. God is a jealous God. His warning is clear. There will be no exceptions. He will not tolerate the worship of other gods or having false idols. Listen as the Lord warns us through His living word when He says, Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices. God offers His complete and total forgiveness to all who have strayed from Him. He invites those who have created false gods to return to Him. To those who realize they have served other gods and are willing to repent, He offers His grace and mercy. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross has satisfied God's wrath and anger, which is directed against the worship of false gods. How is it in your life? Honestly, evaluate your priorities. Are your special activities, your hobbies, your leisure activities, your business, or even your family or friends more important to you than your Lord? If this is your situation, ask God to forgive you. If you claim to believe in God, but in reality other things take first place in your life, confess this dreadful sin to your Heavenly Father. He will take you back. He will welcome you home with open arms. He will empower you by His Spirit to re-examine your priorities. He will restore you as a special child and give you blessings reserved only for His true children. Having false gods is one of the most serious sins anyone can ever commit. This is not merely an opinion. Our Lord Himself pointed this out by condemning this terrible sin in the very first of His Ten Commandments. But praise be to God, His love and grace available through the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us even from this most damning sin. With an air of sophistication and cultural pride, we frequently boast that we do not bow down to idols of wood or stone. We would not think of bowing down to man-made idols or serving false gods. It is merely assumed that only primitive cultures and uncivilized tribes do this. Our lifestyle, however, reveals something just as bad or even worse. Like the people in Ezekiel's day, we worship all types of false gods. Instead of carving or building idols to place in our churches, our fellowship halls, and our temples, we have erected them in our minds. Our hearts have become temples of false gods. Many people today are frequently unaware of what they are doing. The number of false gods being created and worshipped in our society is absolutely incredible. Some have only a few followers. Others draw millions. Perhaps no false god is currently more popular than the god of success. Success is the word. To be successful is the thing to do. Millions sacrifice their entire life in order to be successful. This powerful drive often results in the willingness to give up decent living conditions, rest for the body, welfare for the family, and even personal morals. The drive to bow down and worship the God of success is virtually unstoppable. A recent article, which appeared in a nationally known magazine, revealed that the new drive for success in business and industry has become an epidemic. The current stampede to be successful is receiving encouragement from almost every direction. Bookstores advertise all types of books on how to become successful. Cassette tapes are also available, permitting the listener to obtain advice directly from the latest guru of success. Newspapers frequently carry photos and stories on individuals and community leaders who are considered successful. Our Lord certainly expects us to use our time and talents wisely. He also promises to richly bless these efforts. In fact, being successful is not in itself sinful. However, when we make success the most important thing in our life, even more important than worshiping, honoring, and serving our Lord, it becomes an abomination in the sight of God. God is a jealous God. He will in no way accept second place in the life of anyone. Another false god which has drawn the worship of countless millions is the god of leisure, the desire to be doing things that stimulate our senses and make us constantly happy. One magazine recently described the attitude of those vigorously pursuing leisure activities. The writer said, "People's drive for leisure activities is now so strong they elbow their way in at any cost." One individual typical of the movement was quoted as saying, "I want it all that is good in life." The magazine then went on to explain, He doesn't worry about the future, because that is tomorrow, and it will not be worth a cent today. He is very much focused in on today and what he can do for himself. Although it may seem unbelievable, spending for leisure activities is now rapidly approaching the $200 billion mark, more than the United States spends for its entire national defense. In 1985, the total is expected to climb to an incredible $300 billion. The drive to be constantly involved in leisure activities is now such a large part of people's lives that U.S. News and World Report, already over 1 year ago, set aside 17 pages for a special report on the growing movement. Concern was expressed that the new drive for leisure is converting the United States into a wall-to-wall playpen, or even worse, one large coliseum. Even the most casual observer can readily see that leisure activities take first place in the lives of many. Nothing whatsoever is permitted to intervene. In fact, without leisure activities, these same people would find life totally meaningless. Reliable surveys indicate that a high percentage of people in the United States and Canada are currently dissatisfied with their jobs. Yet, they are willing to stick it out in order to have money needed to pursue their favorite and many times costly leisure activities. Although it may sound like a contradiction, one observer recently stated that many people today literally wear themselves out pursuing their favorite leisure activity. That may sound contradictory and even ridiculous, but it's true. People are wearing themselves out pursuing activities they consider important in their life. The most important thing in life for some people is to go snowmobiling. Others arrange their entire weekly activities around skiing. The god of others is camping trips, fishing trips, and other outings. Still others place athletics first in their life, or golfing, or boating. Those who are not participants become zealous spectators. They do not want to miss one event, either live or on television. These activities are not evil in themselves. In fact, they represent forms of recreation and relaxation which God Himself desires for us. However, when they become the most important thing in our life, they are sin. When we rob God of the attention and worship He deserves, we are committing a sin against Him. When we arrange everything else we do around these activities, especially if they cause us to miss worshiping our Lord and supporting His work with our financial gifts, they are false gods. When these activities receive the largest part of our time, energy, and money, we have erected false idols in our hearts. If you have put other things before your Lord, He is speaking to you today through the prophet Ezekiel when he says, "Repent, turn from your idols, and renounce all your detestable practices." Let us always remember, God is a jealous God. To serve other interests before Him inflames His wrath. Our Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, "You shall have no other gods besides me." To have other gods is, in reality, pitting that God against the God of the Bible. Our Lord makes one thing very clear. His wrath will be directed against this terrible sin. Merely claiming to believe in God or in some vague religion is not enough. He expects us to repent, to turn from our idolatrous life, and to trust in Jesus for our salvation. Jesus spoke very directly about the importance and the necessity of repentance. In Luke chapter 13, he says, "But unless you repent, you too will perish." Dr. C.F.W. Walther, a leading religious leader of the last century, stressed the need of repentance in sermons to his congregation. In his sermon for the general day of repentance, he said, "We must fear that many of our members have never truly repented of their old sins. Take my words to heart. Truly repent of your sins and wash your polluted hearts in the atoning blood of your Savior." Already in the Old Testament, the people understood that the Lord would in no way overlook those who sinned against Him. This is clearly taught in the Bible. In Numbers chapter 14 we read, "The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he will by no means clear the guilty." If you realize in your heart that you have placed other interests in your life before your God, don't despair. If you realize in your heart that you have permitted special interests to become secret gods, don't give up. Right now, God is offering you forgiveness and hope through the words of his prophet Ezekiel. He says, "If a wicked man turns from his sins, none of the offenses he has committed will be remembered against him." The prophet Isaiah also assures you of God's love and mercy when he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." God will freely pardon, no strings attached, no matter how far you have strayed. No matter how many gods you have held in the past, the Lord will take you back. He will ask no questions. He will set up no requirements for you to earn his mercy. God's mercy has already been earned when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When the Savior gave up his life, he did it to satisfy God's just and holy requirement. The blood of Jesus Christ paid the price demanded by God's holy and righteous wrath. The blood of Jesus Christ has the power to save you from God's consuming wrath and anger. No longer do you have to fear God because of your sins. Since your debt of sin has been paid by Jesus, God the Father looks at you as righteous and holy. Even though you are not holy, God by his grace declares you holy because of what Jesus has done for you. When, by faith, we accept God's forgiveness, he also expects us to turn from our sins of idolatry and follow him. The Bible describes this process in 1 Peter chapter 4 when it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also in the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do." Some of you who are listening to this broadcast today may honestly believe I have overstated the case. You may be tempted to say that I have made a mountain out of a molehill, or that I have expressed a narrow point of view because I represent the religious community. Nothing could be further from the truth. Evidence of religious hypocrisy is becoming more and more evident. This was dramatically revealed in a recent study conducted by the Princeton Religious Research Center. In reporting the results of the research, one director openly and plainly stated, "I find from recent surveys that many Americans have found Jesus Christ, but they haven't found time for him." He continued by saying, "They haven't made time or found time to let him enter their lives. They are so caught up in other frenetic activities." How about you? Have you been giving God lip service, but in reality, directing the largest part of your time, money, and energy on other things? If you have, stop right now and think things over. You decide whether you are serving God or whether other things in your life are more important. If you have been giving the success of your business, the improvement of your home, the development of your property, or leisure activities the largest part of your time, money, and energy, consider the possibility that these things have now become your God. The same decision faces you as faced the people in the days of Elijah the prophet. Elijah said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Now is the time. Don't wait another day. If you have placed other things before the true and living God, repent and turn to the Lord. Repent and live." Amen.